Welcome to the Pastor Nora King Podcast. We're confident that the message you're about to hear will enhance and empower your life in God. Now, here's Pastor Nora.
Now, I want us to go to Isaiah 64:7. There is none that calls upon thy name that stirs up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. What I want you to see here is that he's saying that no one that called upon the name of the Lord was stirring himself up to pray. And so we need to know that there are times when we're not going to feel like praying. There's many times when I don't want to pray, but I know I ought to pray. There's times when I know I need to read the Word of God, but I don't feel like reading the Word of God. So here he's saying that they didn't stir themselves up to take hold of God in prayer. So that means that gives us a clue. We can stir ourselves up in prayer even when we don't feel like praying. You don't have to have a feeling. You just begin to stir yourself. Doesn't the Bible say stir up the gift? Stir yourself up to pray. Well, you know, nobody's recognizes my gift. Well, maybe you're not stirring it up enough. Maybe, you know, it's just lying dormant. And you need to stir it up. But you see, you can stir yourself in prayer. Say, I can stir myself in prayer. Amen. Now, the second part of that scripture, it talks about, I'm just going to read the whole thing again. There is none that calls upon thy name that stirs up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and has consumed us because of our iniquities. So God wasn't hearing their prayers because of iniquity, sin, wickedness, perversion, whatever you want to call it, that was in their life. That tells us that there are hindrances to prayer. One of them being that we don't stir ourselves up in prayer. That's a hindrance to prayer. We're just waiting on that lightning bolt from heaven to hit us, and then we'll pray. No, you have to stir yourself to pray. The second hindrance is sin, iniquity that he talked about there. In Psalm 66:18, it talks about the Lord will not regard the prayer of those in iniquity or sin. He won't regard it. He won't listen to it. He won't receive the prayer of those that are in iniquity. Also, another hindrance to prayer is unforgiveness. You know Mark 11, when you stand praying, forgive, so that your heavenly Father may forgive you. And if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And so if you want your prayers to be a channel of God's power, then you've got to remember that you got to stir yourself in prayer. You've got to keep sin out of your life. As sin comes into our lives, and every one of us sin from time to time, we're none perfect, not any of us except Jesus Christ. We've got to repent, ask God to forgive us and cleanse us and get sin out of our life. And then it will not be a hindrance, okay? And so then unforgiveness. When someone harms us, hurts us, wounds us, does something against us, and even though it might be a horrible thing and they didn't have a right to do it, we still need to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, your prayers will be hindered. Well, I have a right. They did me wrong and whatever. Well, they may have. And, you know, even in some cases, the law may have to bring retribution there. And let it happen. Let the law do it. Let the court settle it. Whatever. But don't hold the people in unforgiveness. Let them go. Release them. I heard a woman giving or sharing what had happened with one of her children. I think it was a daughter. And how that the person who murdered, it was just a horrendous situation. The person that had murdered them, she refused to let them go. And as I was hearing her talk, now it was horrible what they had done to her daughter. And God will take care of that. And the courts and the law can take care of that. But as long as that woman harbors that bitterness and unforgiveness and all that, you know that God really can't do a whole lot for her, through her, because she is not letting it go. Would that be an easy thing to let go? Oh, I don't think so. I mean, you'd have to, everything that was in you, think about it. If your child were murdered, how horrible that would be. But see, we've got to forgive and we've got to let it go, because that gives God an opportunity to do what he can do in the situation. But as long as we hold on to it, when we pray, God does not hear. That prayer is hindered. So we have to forgive. So that's unforgiveness is a hindrance to prayer. Another hindrance to prayer is care and worry. Now, I want you to turn with me here to 1 Peter chapter number 5. I'm going to start reading with verse number 6. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." See, we have to humble ourselves under God's hand, which is his word, really, if we're upheld by the right hand of his power. It's his word. And he says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." See, this word casting, it means unload once and for all. Unload. See, a lot of times what we want to do, instead of casting all of our care, we just want to put a little bit on the wagon and hold some of it. And really what we're saying, even when we pray, "Well, God, we don't really believe you can take care of this. I've got to worry about it. I've got to keep this care because I've got to take care of it." How many of you know that we cannot do anything to change situations ourselves? We've got to unload it on the Lord and let him take care of it. And so if you're trying to carry that around, it will hinder your prayer life. Instead of worrying and thinking about a problem, have faith in God. How about that? That's a novel idea, isn't it? But he says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. In other words, he has concern and interest about your life. You don't need to carry, and I don't need to carry things around that are weighing us down and burdening us. We're not made to bear burdens. He said his burden is light. So if you've got a heavy burden, it didn't come from the Lord. And then he goes on to say, you cast all your care on him. And then it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, I want you to look at that. He tells you to resist the devil when worry and care and all those kinds of things come on you. Use your faith instead of worry. Because if you worry and have care in your life, that's exactly what the devil is standing around waiting. He's waiting to see who will it be that carries that load. Because I know that I can get them. I know that I can cause them some problems. I know that I can hinder their prayers. See, if you don't cast your care on the Lord, the enemy is there and he's looking and watching you. And what we're supposed to be doing is we're supposed to be looking and watching and keeping the devil at bay. Be sober, be vigilant. I think it is the Amplified Bible that talks about be well balanced. In other words, how do you be well balanced? You don't carry worry and care and all those pressures of life. You don't carry that around. You don't carry it, but you cast it on the Lord. You are to be well balanced, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about looking for those that he can gulp up. That's really what it means. Just, you're gone. Your effectiveness is gone. Your testimony is gone. Your faith is gone. Your prayer power is stolen. And see, that's what he wants. And so your prayers can be hindered if you're a person that is given to worry and care and fretting and all of that kind of stuff. And the enemy is just waiting there to get a hold of your life. Your adversary. Your enemy. And God all the time, what did he say? I want to lift you up. I want to lift you up. I want to take your prayer, I want to release the power, and I want to lift you up, and I want to lift up the people that you're praying about, and I want to lift up the situation that you're bringing to me. Now that is good for us to know this, folks. We can't worry and fret and have care. And see, your words will give you away. Your speaking, your mouth will give you away. It will locate you where you are. Well, I've cast the care, and then you go and you start talking, and you're talking right in line with care and worry and fretting. You see, so you can't say one thing and really be doing something else. Amen? It just isn't the way it works. The fifth thing that I'm going to talk about here tonight, and this will end it here, is double-mindedness. And that's in James chapter 1, 6 through 8. We'll just turn over there real quickly. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, I like what the Jerusalem Bible says. That sort of person in two minds, wavering between going different ways, must not expect the Lord will give him anything. And see, two minds. One mind, I know God hears me when I pray. I know that if I, have faith in the Word of God and I pray the Word of God and I bind the devil, that God will hear me. That's in one side of the mind. Then in the other side of the mind, I know what I prayed and I know what the Word of God says, but, and here we go. And I'll tell you a lot of times where the but and then here we go, where that comes from. It's lies and deceptions that the enemy speaks. Timothy talks about that. And it talks about demon powers that speak and preach to people. Just whispering in their ear. And see, what we do, if we're not careful as believers, what we'll do is we'll begin to believe those lies and the deceptions that are being, said to us. We buy into it, and at that point in time, it cancels out our prayer. It cancels out our faith. It cancels out the prayer power made available. So we can't be two minds. We can't be thinking two ways. And when the devil speaks, we better answer. No, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I do not receive it. See, what are you answering? That's what I want to ask you tonight. What are you answering when those little things are whispered to you? Now, I have those things happen to me just like you have them happen to you. And for a little while, you'll just maybe stop in your tracks. And you'll just maybe think, well, what about that? Well, when it speaks, you answer. When that force of darkness speaks, you answer. Well, even if it's your own mind. Well, you say, well, it's not really the devil, it's just me. Well, if it's your own mind, you speak out of your renewed mind, which is renewed on the Word of God and has got the Word of God in there. And so when you are, you know, speaking to yourself, if that's what you want to call it, I don't think it just happens that way, you answer out of your renewed mind. He's speaking, but what are we answering? When the enemy comes to speak things that are not true against our God, we need to stand up and... And what's the... That's exactly right. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's your weapon that you're going to gouge him with. And that's what you speak. You have to speak. What are you answering when the enemy talks to you? And when he tells you that you're not going to make it. Financially, you're going to fail. Your family is going to fall apart. You're not going to make this situation. This is the toughest thing you've ever faced. You will face it, and you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. But you got to be armed.
Thanks for listening to this message from Pastor Nora King. If you'd like to contact us, you can visit us online at redemptionchurch.com. We'll see you back here next week for another powerful message from Pastor Nora.